for the fans, by the fans. This is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel with your weekly dose of non-league insight, knowledge, and opinion. A little shorter than normal this week, but hopefully plenty to keep you entertained nonetheless. An FA Cup flavour too, with the FA Cup first qualifying round this weekend, and the Step 3 clubs across the land joining the competition. We talked to a manager whose side have notched 5 out of 5 wins in the league to put them top of the table. And that's all after heartbreak at the very first COVID lockdown when they were flying atop of the table. He tells us about their game last weekend that was more Sunday league than anything he'd seen before. And he looks ahead to a very challenging FA Cup this weekend. Plus, it's a FA Cup fact file, Mr. Philonets. He's back to give us a full preview and flavour of the weekend's 121 ties in the first qualifying round. Meanwhile, senior writer at the non-league paper, David Richardson, returns to the show with the non-league paper news roundup. We chat crowds, gyms and mascot races, among other typical non-league stories. It's good to be back. There's plenty to be excited about. So get your ears back into gear and let's get matters underway. So last week we spoke with my own club's manager, flying high at the top of the Southern League Premier South with a 100% record, which thankfully still intact. So I'm hoping my next guest carries on that trend. His club are also top of Step 3 Division Southern League Premier Central, also with a 100% record, 5 wins from 5. But I'm sure when I welcome back to the Non-League Football Show the manager of Peterborough Sports, he will tell me it's still early days. So let's see. Let's welcome back to the show, old friend of the show, Jimmy Dean.
Hello, Tim. How are you, mate?
I'm good. I guess you're on a high at the moment. You know, at 5 from 5, a +12 goal difference. Is that as good as you could have hoped?
Yeah, of course it is. It's fantastic. I mean, looking at the last couple of years, Tim, you know, for whatever reason, last year, I mean, we drew 3 and lost 1 and then started getting our mojo a little bit. And the year before, I think it was worse than that. I think we missed mid-table for a good couple of months before we ended up finishing top, didn't we, before it went and avoided. So, you know, it's something we really wanted to address this year at the start, and, you know, it's gone, like you say, it couldn't have really gone any better.
Now, you mentioned that the slow starts in previous seasons, and Paul Hughes, Hazen United manager, mentioned that similarly last year. And like him, you were one of the clubs that came back with an extended pre-season. Now, you think that's been a big factor for this great start?
Yeah, well, we've looked at it a little bit this year, mate. I mean, obviously, there's a little bit more gone into it than that. I mean, I did think last year I went on holiday because I've got family life and you have to balance it and all the rest of it. And you do, Tim, you know. I went on holiday. I was coming back for games, pre-season games, but I was missing the sessions. I went the last 2 weeks of pre-season. And I thought a couple of the players, when you know the cat's away, the mouse plays, that's what they say. I think a couple of them took their foot off the pedal at the wrong time, and we just went into the pre-season just not having that momentum I wanted. So this year, I stayed till the Sunday after the first game against Rushall, and I've come away. I've been travelling back 470-mile round trips. I've been travelling back 4 of them I've done to the games. I've missed 2 sessions, but when you're playing games and you're winning, momentum looks after itself. And that was my logic. And like you say, what we've looked at, the pre-season we've done, we finished in February. We've done 8 weeks this year instead of 6. And the other thing we did is, by luck again, it's not something, you know, we ain't headhunting a strength and conditioning coach, but someone came available, local, with good pedigree. Do you know what I mean? Young, but good pedigree. And we've got him in, and he's, you know, that little bit of, you know, education, it just set us on the right path, I think, mate. So there's a few factors gone into it, but we're definitely seeing a lot better set this year than we have other years.
And there's so many things in that thing in your response there that I want to sort of pick up on. You, which again, touched upon it with Paul Hughes last week. As a manager, you know, everybody, we're all celebrating that we're back, we're enjoying football. You know, the fans are there. We're, you know, Saturday's back to normal. And that, but as a manager, there's so many sacrifices you have to make alongside all this success. So, you know, like you mentioned, you're driving back and forth from Devon because it, you know, the Peterborough Sports manager's job. That's your job. That's what you're committed to. But you also have to juggle that and get some brownie points with the people at home as well.
Mate, I've got I've got three little babies, 8, 7, and 2. And my missus is, she's pregnant again. So we did make a little change for that as well. A little alteration to make it work. The in-laws came away with us. That's not something I'd normally do. we brought them in as well. So when I was going back, she had a little bit of help. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot goes into it. But if I don't actually want to be the best football manager I can be. I want to be the best dad I can be. Yeah. And this is the best place we can go in England at the minute. We've got a tour. You've got Stanton, which is probably an hour away. But this is what they want to do. So I have to make it work, mate. I mean, every round trip's £70. That's how much it costs me. Four times. Do you know what I mean? It is a big commitment.
It is a big commitment, but whenever I've spoken to you, you've always been enthusiastic. You've been in that job since, 2015 now, is it?
It's start of my seventh season. Obviously, we've only finished because we've had two cut off, but yeah. I don't have me 200 for game the other week, Tim. I think it was Biggleswade. That's me 200 for league game, sorry, 200 for league game. So, yeah, I've been in it a while now. Finished four seasons, two non-boarded, and you know what, mate? I had this conversation the other day, and this is the time to be doing these round trips because I'm so enthusiastic to be back, and so is everyone else. If it was the middle of the winter, you'd probably be less enthusiastic to do it. But right now, I win, lose, or draw, mate, I'm just glad to be back at football. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you say that. If you get promotion this season, which appears to be, you're certainly hopefully going to be up there challenging into make National North or National South.
If we went up, we're going to the National North, but that's where we'll be, mate. We'll be up there challenging. There's some massive, we're small fry in our division, but we obviously do things right, and we've obviously got a good team. I ain't getting away from that. We've had some good recruitment in the summer. Only two players, but the mad is a bit stronger, I think. So that's where we'll be. We'll be up there, but I know what you're going to say. You're going to say the travel is going to become normal, and that's why we do it, isn't it, mate? You want to test yourself as high and against the best sides you can. Yeah. So that is why we do it. That's the ambition. I suppose that'll never be normal to me, mate. 470-mile road trips, never.
I often talk about the 100-mile trip that I've, 200-mile round trip that I have to get to my club on a weekly basis. But you surpassed me there, mate. You've gone above and beyond, as you always do. I couldn't get you on this week without talking about the roller coaster ride of being a manager, and the game that you had last weekend. Peterborough Sports 8, Stourbridge 4. Talk us through it.
Ooh. I mean, what I actually did last week, because, I wanted to understand. I always watch the games back. Now, one thing I'm not going to be able to do coming in, and it's 4 hours, I've not got the facilities to watch the games back. So I actually got up at 6:30 so I could get... No, I left at 6:30 in the morning on the Monday morning, so I could get back to mine and watch the game on my screen at home. To give me a bit more of an idea, I'm watching that. I can give you a little bit more depth. I mean, I knew in the game, but basically, the first thing I'll say, Stourbridge are committed with quality players. I think 10 of their 11 to play Football League, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the only one who hadn't was Liam Daly, who's he played for Barnet last season, So, they're littered with quality. He changed formation. And what he did, we went 6-1 up. Probably I should have done things a bit differently. But what he was doing, the reason he went 6-1 up is because he kept pushing his fullbacks. Wing-back, sorry. He went 3-5-2. His wing-back, he pushed him right up onto our full-backs. So they played at 10 as well. So it was literally 5-on-5. You see what I mean? Mm. And what I did from there, I had a choice to... I wish I did at 6-4, but I had a choice to cut it off and keep hunting for goals. I mean, change what we do and adapt to them or keep going. And, probably I made the mistake of thinking there was more goals in it. He kept pushing forward. Listen, 4 goals was 4 mistakes from 4 different... players in our back four as well. You can't legislate for that. But what we did is just we kept forcing the issue, and it went 6-2, and I could see by the reaction the game weren't dead. I I knew they was going to kick because there was a little bit of pressure as well. I mean, the two boys out at front was playing Football League last year, Montel Gibson and Jason Kelly, super players. Then they went 6-4, a couple of subs. We didn't change what we was doing, we got fresher legs on. And luckily, we went and got a couple more goals. Would I have done things differently with hindsight? Probably at 6-1, we'd probably lock it down a little bit better, you know what I mean? But, it was certainly been for the one for the interest. But then what we did on Monday, coming back and watching the games because of their mistakes, we put it right. We addressed the team, addressed it tactically, and we won 1-0 away to Diamonds with a depleted team. So, it weren't all bad, mate.
I guess as well that long drive back down to Devon for the holiday probably helped you clear your head so that you were in better dad mode when you got back.
Oh, mate, it was mental. Like, I tell you now, I had a 3.5-hour drive, 4-hour drive. And the time I got home, I still hadn't made sense of it. I've never been involved in a game like that. And anyone I've spoken to has not been in a game like that. I mean, Sunday League, it's worse than Sunday League, isn't it? 8-4. I think you just had two really attacking teams. Two managers that, for different reasons who went for it. And good players, mate. I will say this as well. Everything that both teams into it went in, it was top corners, it was stanches, it fell to the right play, there weren't a lot of missed opportunity. Well, I just didn't think I'll ever be involved in another one of them.
That was something I was going to ask, because goals seem to be a thing this season. And I guess strikers, they're always goal hungry, aren't they? But with those aborted seasons we had, do you think it's made them extra hungry and more clinical?
Nah, mate, look, for me, I think maybe defenders have forgot how to defend. There's that argument as well, isn't there? Some of the errors, mate, from what I'm seeing from all sides, they're so basic. Honestly, the stuff I'm having to go back to and work to the drawing board, it's frustrating, but it's stuff you got to do, isn't it? But as personally, we've always scored goals. I think step 6 when I started, we was top goal scorers in England. Step 5 we were from step 6 to the Premier League. I think it's 4-1 we won that league. I think third or fourth, and I think top of step 3, he's the top goal, top scorer in step 3 side in England. I think that's true. So, I always score goals. I play offensive football, but the clean sheet's important as well. We've got 3 of them since we've come back.
Yep,
3 and 5. So it's not too bad. We like scoring.
You've touched upon there, and we've spoken before about your quick rise from the United Counties League. Have these aborted seasons sort of maybe had a slightly silver lining to enable you guys to catch up off the field, ready for this next promotion challenge?
Off the field they have. I mean, on the field, I think we were top after 33 games, weren't we? Yeah. We went up, we only wanted to be bottom, we only wanted to stay up. That's all we wanted, and we got to March. It was the first time we was top in the whole season, and it was a real killer, mate, because we never thought that chance would come again. We thought we just had a bit of momentum, things worked out. Like I said, we started poorly, and then the next season we thought we had a side based on the last year to compete. We got the last 16 in the trophy last year, but obviously only played 6 league games, and this year we've improved again, so keeping that momentum going has been hard off the pitch. The club's step 3, we didn't expect it in our first season, but we lost the clubhouse, Tim. We actually lost the clubhouse. We didn't own it, but a place to go and have a drink after a game. We got no money off it, so the club was self-funding without even having the income of a bar, and now credit to the chairman and his associates have got us a new clubhouse up, which has obviously made a massive difference to the club. They've got a lot of infrastructure in the ground. We've got they've got me a new office. How about that one? they've got me a video camera. They've got a new scoreboard up. They've got a new stand going up. They've got a new irrigation system going in. Which is the start of. It's the ones that go up and down the pitch, but it's better than we didn't even have that. Because we went forward so quickly, I don't think anyone expected it. Like you say, going back to the original question, I think 100%, 100%, it's helped the club catch up off the pitch. then the pressure's back on me again now.
Yeah, so, talking of that pressure, you've got the FA Cup this weekend. Is that a nice distraction, or ideally would you have liked to continue that league groove?
No, it's not a distraction, mate. I love the FA Cup. You know, one of my lifetime ambitions is getting that first round proper. It's something I really want to do. You know, and I say that, I know for it might not be this year because we've got a ridiculously tough draw again. But it's not a distraction. It's just business as usual, mate. It's something, you know, it's not like an area cup where you got to go away on a Tuesday night. It's the biggest cup competition in the world. It's, you know, it's something we always seem to have a go at, you know. But we've got a really tough game Saturday, mate. Harangay Bath, and they've won three out of the four. Last year when we got to the last 16 of the trophy, they actually played Oxford City the round before us, and I remember watching them thinking, oh, they're bad. They went 2-0 up against Oxford. The defender made a mistake, and Oxford beat them 4-2, and then Oxford beat us easily. They beat us comfortably the next round. We didn't really lay a glove on them. So that tells me these are going to be a real tough game Saturday. You know, but it's one we get our teeth into. Like I say, it's not a distraction. It's just business, mate. Business as usual.
Yeah, again, they've got their own great track record in the FA Cup in recent seasons. And I think as a neutral, this is a game that lots of people are going to be keeping an eye on, and hopefully a lot of people will be swelling the crowd there as well.
Yeah, I mean, from the league last few years, we saw it here with the bottom end. We beat them. We beat Enfield last year, but on penalties, there was a good side, Enfield. We played Bishop Stortford a few years back when they were struggling a little bit. I mean, they got to the first round last year. We beat Bishop Stortford away, so we've had a good run against sides from that level. I think really, really tough game. It's probably the toughest out of the lot from what we've had. I think what has failed us a little bit is we've got them at home instead of them being at home, because they're playing a 3G pitch. By all accounts, they're really good on it, but you know, one of our boys played at Colchester, and I think both of the wing backs were played at Colchester. Both are great players. We've had them watched. I'm sure they have it's a real 50-50 time. It is. They've won three from four. They only lost to Kingstonians first game of the season. We've got 100% record. It's a real 50-50 time, mate. On Monday we had wingers in the centre forward out. We have playing midfielders out wide, and then we've bringing on fullbacks out wide, and you know, we had to make two or three changes. So we made four changes on the day. So we need to get players fit as well to give a good account of ourselves. But I can understand why people look at this game and think, yeah, it's a real good one, because it's a top team from the East, and I like to think a top team from the Southern, you know, the Southern Prem.
Yep. Well, talking of a real good one, you are always one. I better let you go, and you probably got to go and fill the car back up again, haven't you, to start making the journeys back?
No, I did that last night, mate. I've still got to pack down my awnings, get that folded away. I've got to put a few other bits away, and then I've got 235-mile drive at 60 miles an hour with three kids in the back. So, wish me luck, mate.
Well, I wish you luck with that.
They're training tonight as well. Training tonight, 7 o'clock.
This is the life of a non-league football manager. You don't see this at the Premier League, and this is why we love non-league football, and this is why we love Jimmy Dean. Thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, and we'll speak to you again soon, mate.
It's an absolute pleasure, mate. Thank you.
So we've spoken to the Peterborough Sports boss, Jimmy Dean, who's he's clearly very excited about his FA Cup game this week. But what about a man who's excited about each and every one of those games this weekend in the 150th anniversary year of the FA Cup competition? Step forward, the man, the legend, the author of FA Cup 150. It's at FA Cup Fact Farm, Mr. Phil Annetts. Welcome back, Phil.
Hi, Tim. Hi, good to be back. How are you?
I'm good. I'm thinking now I probably need to find a non-league band somewhere to do a little proper intro for you. Maybe a trumpet fanfare or a drum roll? What are you after?
It all sounds a bit too grandiose for me. Just say, here's Phil. That's fine.
Well, here is Phil. And Phil, let's start with me being a bit of a fanboy here of your new book, FA Cup 150. I've been flicking through various sections. A section that I got stuck there, 150 top-scoring clubs in the FA Cup. And in a week where Tottenham Hotspur are top of the Premier League, I won't mention who's bottom, but I'm sure that club knows, Tottenham with a 100% record as well. I'm pleased as a Spurs fan to see that they are also top of the competition's top scorers over the 150 years with 900 goals. However, with my non-league hat on, as I've always got, it's always drooping over my eyes, I was even more excited to see that second spot in that table belongs to Kettering Town. And they're only 7 goals behind Spurs. Now, they don't come into the competition yet as a step two club, but maybe that's one for Paul Cox to stick on his list of motivational phrases in the next couple of weeks. Certainly one to watch this season.
Well, definitely. They actually held the crown up until the end of the previous season. But Spurs had a fantastic goal spree throughout the 2021 campaign. And unfortunately for Kettering, they pulled out due to COVID reasons, so weren't really able to add to their tally. So they are top of the top of the non-league pile. They scored more goals in the qualifying round than anyone else. But yeah, unfortunately, Spurs overtook them at the critical point.
See, these are the sort of things that you need to get your hands on the FA Cup 154. We'll come back to the book again later, but let's talk about this round. That 729 clubs in this year's competition. We've got the first qualifying round with 121 ties, 87 new clubs in from the step three joining the competition. Prize pot of what, £2,250 for the winners, £750 for the losers. There's plenty to get excited about, Phil.
Oh, there's always something to get excited about with the FA Cup. Yeah, it's always good when we get a new set of clubs coming in at a new level. So all the clubs that have fought their way through from the extra premier round now get a chance, or some of them get a chance to pit themselves against some step three sides.
Yeah, and you mentioned last week about the lowest ranked starters having already been, well, effectively knocked out of the competition. But with the pyramid reshuffle, I'd imagine there's plenty of clubs looking to reach the second qualifying round for the first time in their history.
There's a whole host of, obviously there's a couple of newbies in there in terms of Alton and in terms of Jersey Bulls who are competing in the FA Cup for the first time. And then there's a few others that are in this round for the first time themselves. And when we've got Little Oakley and Mulbarton Wanderers amongst them who have never won in the FA Cup before this season. So they'll be hoping to continue their runs into the second qualifying round.
See, that we talk about the magic of the FA Cup and, it goes all the way through from the extra preliminary round all the way up to the final. But you don't get those sort of things in the semi-finals or the quarter-finals. You know, a club that have never won in the competition before this year. That's the magic of the FA Cup. Now, I only normally like to dwell on the positives as well, but another stat that I did pick up from your book, FA Cup 150, this week, Worthing FC, record holders in the first round qualifying round that we've got this weekend, but not the kind that you'd normally like to be singing about. 43 times they've gone out at this stage of the competition, more than any other club. They're at home to Corinthian Casuals this weekend. What are the chances?
it's probably an unwanted record and they won't want to add to it. I think they've got a home tie. That gives them a chance, I suppose, to prevent that becoming 44. But it will be a tough game against a team that I think are in the same division as. But it did beat them the last time the two clubs met, which was, I think, in the late 90s. So they've got history against them, so that will count in their favour.
And I don't expect to have for you to have this sort of stat at your fingertips, Phil, but have you done the analysis on home versus away in the various rounds? Is there a better round to be drawn at home than there is than others? You know, is it the extra preliminary round? Is that a bit more sort of you want to be go away because it's so early? These are the sort of stats that if we don't know them, we need to find them out.
Well, I am sad that I'm not quite as sad as that to work all that out, but. It is doable, I suppose, but actually, if you go back far enough, sometimes it's not always accurately reported which team was at home and which team was away. So even if you did try to do it, you couldn't be certain that you had accuracy in your report.
Some of the other ties that I've sort of looked at there, we're always looking for those cup sets. I think it was tie number 3, West Allotment Celtic from the step 5 against Bamber Bridge at step 3. The home side have never been beyond this round, so hoping to make some history. And the visitors, I think in the last 2 years, they've been knocked out in this round. And they're the sort of ones that, if you're a player that's maybe not quite up to speed for the new season, that sort of dwells in your mind, doesn't it, as you go out to the middle?
Well, it's definitely something for the West Allotment Celtic team to be up for that game. If they've seen Bamber Bridge not doing too well in the competition in recent times, they'll think they've got a chance, and why not? And it could be history for the club if they can achieve it.
Yeah, and another one of those 5v3, Sherwood Colliery. Now, what a great name, Sherwood Colliery, against Buxton, with their lowlier home side. They're on their best run ever already as well. So, come Monday when we're looking for a new draw again, these are the sort of names that are going to be everybody's going to be looking out for as they look to progress through the FA Cup. Because if there has been a cup set, you really don't want to be drawn against one of those clubs that have already made some history, not to a higher level club out and are really on their mettle in the cup.
Well, sure, we'd have already done that this season as well after being on the live TV BBC game in the last round where they went away from home and won at Sheffield FC. So, they've got form at the moment, and they won't be afraid of repeating that, got home advantage. So, they could continue their run. It's very possible.
So, there's plenty of ties for, people to pick out this weekend, get along to, go and enjoy it. We've got games across the weekend. What about yourself, Phil? It's a big weekend. So where are you off to watch your FA Cup action?
I'm taking actually 2 games over the weekend. I'll be taking my FA Cup 150 book with me to sign the copies if anyone's interested in that. I'm heading up to Chase Town as they take on Barwell on Saturday afternoon. And then on Sunday afternoon, I'll be going to Littlehampton Town as they host Whitehawk on the South Coast Derby down there. So I'm looking forward to both those games, and hopefully people listening can come along to them as well and get a look at the book. And I'll be giving away one of my rankings to anyone who buys the book, full 21st Century FA Cup rankings to anyone who buys the book while I'm at those 2 grounds.
Yeah, and looking at those ties then, Phil, chosen for their goal-worthy possibilities, Chase Town 7-0 winners over Uttoxeter in the last round.
Yeah, well, they did one of 5 teams to score 7 in the last round, and then you had Aylesbury United, who scored 8. So, I hope they can give us some goals. Interestingly, those teams that tend to score a lot of goals, say, in the extra Premier round, tend not to add too many to them in the next round. So, hopefully that doesn't carry forward into the first quarterfinal round, and I get to see a lot of goals this weekend.
Yeah, and of course, I still remember when we reported back in, 2007, 2008, on the non-league show for Chase Town's 3rd round exploits after they beat Port Vale in the 2nd round. So a club with lots of FA Cup history. I guess to Whitehawk, they, second round, they lost to Dagenham, was it? Probably 6 or 7 years ago now there. Also looking at their opposition, Whitehawk, Littlehampton, I think that they've played in 3 rounds of the Cup this year already with 12 goals there. I'm hoping you're not going to be, some sort of... I'm just hoping the goal to continue, actually, at Littlehampton as well. I'm not going to mention the omens or anything like that because, I wouldn't want to wish that upon anybody.
No. Well, I mean, I've seen quite a few games already in the FA Cup this season, and unfortunately I have seen 1 goalless draw. But in all the other games, there's been plenty of goals. So I think the average is high, and I'm hoping to see two very good games, I'm expecting.
Yeah, well, Phil, I mentioned FA Cup 150. There's also your obviously preview of all the ties, all 121 ties in this round. two snippets of information as well, which, you say you're not that sad to organise some of the stats that I've maybe suggested, but we love you for the stats that you you compile, Phil, and the obscure nature of some of them. So I've noted down here, tie 47, Enfield Town against Dereham Town, tie 53, yeah. Felixstowe and Wharton United against Great Wakering Rovers. There's a specific fact to both of those ties that I don't even know how you thought that this might be a possibility.
Well, there's even another one, Phoenix Sports versus Chipstead.
See.
So you have three of them where all the clubs involved in each of those ties are playing opponents that have a name that begins with a letter they've never faced before in the FA Cup.
It is the sort of a fact that does astound you, especially when you've got an E against a D and an F against a G. It's just I love it that we learn week in, week out with you, Phil. it's the important thing that non-league is the level of the game that keeps giving, and the FA Cup is the competition, the greatest competition and the greatest stats legend that we have on board with us. Phil, remind everybody where they can keep abreast of your work, where they can get hold of a copy of your book, FA Cup 150.
Yeah, so obviously I'm on Twitter quite a lot, as people know, at FA Cup Fact File. You can get hold of FA Cup 150 by visiting my website, facupfactfile.com/shop, or you can also buy it on Amazon, so it's available there. And you can read my blog about all the 121 FA Cup ties on my WordPress.com webpage, where lots and lots of fascinating facts, as you found out.
And of course, they can catch up with you at Chasetown against Barwell on Saturday, and Littlehampton indeed. Against Whitehawk on Sunday. Phil Annette.
Yeah, hope to meet you.
At FA Cup Fact File, thanks for joining us once again on the Non-League Football Show.
Thank you, Tim.
So, rounding off this week's news, of course, there is only one place to head. It's Non-League Paper Towers, our destination, and it's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Senior writer at the Non-League Paper, Mr. David Richardson. Applause, applause, applause.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to have you back on. It's like we've never been away. And I guess for your good self, you haven't. As you've been keeping us all updated during the brief pre-season and into the new season. But we've already had a bank holiday fiesta, and now we've got the first round qualifying of the FA Cup. It's like those curtailed seasons with just a bad dream now.
Yeah, it is a little bit. We've obviously almost sort of getting towards a month now of regular league and cup football. I think last weekend was the first time we've had a full step 1-4 fixture league programme, because obviously before that we sort of had an FA Cup interrupting and step 1 didn't quite start at the same time as everyone else either. So that was sort of a very normal weekend, really, which we haven't had for a long time. So hopefully that continues. Enjoying having a normal season back so far.
Yeah, it certainly seems as though the fans are back, and they're pleased to be back, and in some numbers too. I was looking at some of the bank holiday Monday stats. So was it 5,454 at Wrexham in step one? We obviously had the big game at Macclesfield at step five with 3,502, the official attendance there. Spennymoor Town, step two, crowd of 2,635 against York, and Torquay United as well, with step one, 2,486. It looks like non-league is benefiting from people just wanting to get out there and watch and enjoy some football.
Yeah, it really does look that way. It was probably difficult perhaps to know which way it was going to go. There was obviously sort of talk about whether people would be comfortable coming back into football grounds, given that we're still sort of living through the pandemic and living with coronavirus. Then there was also, the case of whether, people are doing other things really on a Saturday, whether sort of out of sight, out of mind, you sort of forget about your local club and you're doing different things. But it very much seems to have gone the other way, really. And, yeah, we've seen some amazing attendances right across the pyramid, and long may that continue, which is really good to see. And non-league clubs are definitely very grateful to have those fans back in.
Yeah, and as every manager keeps telling me whenever I talk to him, it's still early days in the season. That so that at least means that we've not got as many trigger happy chairmen as maybe we would have. But already a couple of big managerial changes this week. First up, it's Home James as Grays Athletic manager, also known for his time at Met Police in the past as well. Jim Cooper has announced his retirement from the dugout.
Yeah. Shame to see that. Jimmy's always sort of been a stalwart, really, of at step 3 and 4, and in non-league football, obviously was at Met Police for such a long time. Very much sort of helped establish Met Police, really, and put them on the map in terms of what they did in the Isthmian League and that sort of sustained period that they had in that division. Obviously left there when they were moved divisions, and then not too long after went to Grays. Obviously that has been hampered by the pandemic, but obviously this season they've started really well, top of the league. But I think Jim feels that with his retirement incoming from the police force, he feels that he wants to spend a bit more time with his family, and which perhaps he says he hasn't quite been able to give them, as a result of managing a non-league. Because although, we always hear, although it's only sort of a part-time role, it's certainly a lot more than that for the non-league managers. A real shame to see Jim stepping down. He's certainly given a lot to the non-league game, and will definitely be missed. I think we've seen that from all of the messages on social media, and many more, I'm sure, he will have received personally, as the sort of the impact that he's had.
Yeah, you mentioned the great start they've got there. Rapport joins is stepping straight into the role there, so is it like that continuity? So I'm sure that'll continue. And we've spoken to Dave Anderson on this show many a time about his need and his desire for retirement, he's not with me because he's come out of retirement again. He's coaching goalkeepers, so hopefully Jim won't walk away from non-league football. I think that's where I don't think that's ever going to happen, because I think it's in his blood.
Yeah, absolutely. I think still be a familiar face sort of around grounds, and we'll certainly be keeping tabs on it. Like you say, it's in his blood. He'll hopefully still be opening the non-league paper on a Sunday morning and looking at the results and pictures. I'm sure he'll miss the cut and thrust of a match day on Saturdays and Tuesday evenings, but I think he's certainly given a lot to the game and many hours and years, really, to clubs over his time in non-league. So wish him well.
Yeah, and I do wonder whether that decision was possibly quickened after another planning rejection at the former Thurrock FC's Ship Lane ground that Grays have been hoping to be able to move into. Another a great classic non-league ground that's just left there, and I know there's been various applications that. It's still there as a football ground, isn't it? But it just can't be used at the moment.
Yeah, that's right. It was sort of an interesting avenue that sort of Grays were exploring, and I know maybe a couple of other sort of clubs were perhaps looking at it as well. But nothing's come of it at the moment. It sort of seems like an increasing, I suppose, problem in non-league of clubs not having a ground of their own. Speaking to some chairman of Step 5 and 6 leagues over recent months during the restructure, they were speaking a lot about how many clubs ground share, and whilst that's fine and within their rules, it makes it a headache for when they're doing the fixtures and things like that. But I think the point is really that it is raised about how many clubs sort of don't have their own ground and don't sort of have their own home and base to work from. And you'll know from your involvement with Hayes how crucial it is to to have your own ground and be able to push on, because it does become very difficult if you're ground sharing and then moving to and from different places most seasons, to build on that. So hopefully something can come from it. I don't know how close or how soon that may happen, but like you say, to sort of see a pretty iconic, I suppose, and sort of historic sort of non-league ground, not being used and overgrown is quite sad.
I'll always remember walking from the station to Ship Lane on a very foggy Tuesday evening and just wondering whether I was actually heading in the right direction. I eventually got there, and I think there was maybe myself and two or three other Yedding fans back in the day. But it's certainly something that I'm trying to keep an eye on there. And as you mentioned, like my own club, Hayes and Yedding, if you wanted a textbook example of why being in your own ground is so important to a club, when we moved into the National League, we moved out of Church Road and we became nomads. We stuck around for a few seasons there before we then started dropping down through the leagues. And it was only once we got back into our own ground that we were able then to make the climb back up. And, hopefully we're on the rise again. So it is so important, not just for revenue generation, for not paying out money, but it's also, it just gives that sense of community. It brings people stronger together, and it means that the handful of people that are running the club and making sure that everything gets done are under less stress.
Yeah, absolutely, it does. Like you said earlier, over the years you'll have experienced all those things, and sort of travelling miles away from where you should be playing really is not particularly enjoyable, really, and it hinders sort of all aspects of a football club. So certainly not something clubs want to find themselves in.
Yeah. Now, from one gym to another, I mean, I guess it's like all those flyers coming through your door. There's always more than one gym vying for your attention. As one gym's moved on, another one's come back into the world of non-league. We've got Jim Gannon, formerly of the Stockport County Parish, now the new manager in charge at Hyde United. A great manager, a great man. And I'm sure that there's lots that he's going to be able to help Hyde to get back to their own greatness again, after a few seasons in the doldrums.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to see Jim Gannon back in management. He'd obviously spoken recently that he was keen to get back in into management in a part-time capacity, which obviously he's got at Hyde. He also has a role at Oldham, so that helps him combine the two. Obviously, he was at Stockport last season when they got rid of him, quite surprisingly, really, at a time when they were going well in the league and just had a good run in the FA Cup as well. But what will be Stockport's loss, I imagine it will be Hyde's gain. So we'll see how that one goes in the Northern Premier League. Obviously, it's a couple of divisions down from where he's come from, with his experience and his knowledge of that Manchester area, it will obviously be a club he's familiar with, having just been nearby, really, in terms of location. So, interesting to see how he'll get on there. But, certainly sort of a challenge to get stuck into in that Northern Premier League, because, the likes of South Shields and Buxton and FC United, it's certainly a tough division. So
not an easy one to get out of. Now, other story from the Bank Holiday weekend was, of course, I say of course, I'm not sure if everybody would have seen it, the mascot memorial race. Now, it's been a while since we've been able to see mascots running out on the race courses of the country. This one was at Epsom, and if you've not yet seen the clip on social media, have a look. It was a great victory for Victor the Magpie of Chorley, but it was a photo finish with Brig the Cat of Bamberbridge, and Howie the Hornet of Horsham was a close there too. Non-league's mascots, clearly, they've been keeping themselves fit during the lockdown.
Yeah, good to see. Good to see they're doing their bit for non-league, flying the non-league flag, even in the mascot world. So, yeah, certainly a 1-2 finish, I think, there for non-league, was it? So, yeah, good to see.
Yeah, I'm wondering whether, you know, there's maybe listening to this show now, or maybe looking at those reports, there's some managers that have, you know, maybe looking for some extra legs into their, bring them into their squad. Would that be a bit like a Rangers player signing for Celtic in Scotland? Could a mascot from another club signed for a non-league outfit that's maybe their rivals?
Yeah, I think it would be pretty controversial, actually, really, to see that. I don't think it's been done before, has it? It would be a surprise to see that, I think.
Yeah, we'll wait to see. Of course, your good self will be the sort of person that would be the first on it and reporting on it. Ahead of us, a weekend of FA Cup action, 121 ties across the weekend, plus a full National League calendar, and also down at step 5 and 6 and beyond. Plenty to report on and plenty to read on Sunday morning. Anything else in particular we can look out for?
Yeah, absolutely. A busy day of football with the FA Cup, like you've said, and obviously called off in the show with Phil. We've got his usual stats looking ahead to FA Vars next weekend, which will be an interesting start there, as it always is. Almost sort of 200 ties, I think, in that first round of the FA Vars. So yeah, mammoth weekend for those step 5 and 6 clubs. We've also got bits in from Jeff Stelling, who gives us his thoughts. Obviously, no longer in non-league, his Hartlepool United, but gives his view on the National League now that they've gone up and don't have to worry about it anymore. We've also got another column from Steve Shaw, the Chelmsford City chairman, on his insight into running a non-league club and how things are going there. I've also spoken to Jimmy Dean at Peterborough Sports about their really fast start. They had an incredible win last weekend, beating Stourbridge 8-4, which you don't see many 12-goal thrillers, or certainly not by that scoreline either. So that was an interesting one, and they're going well. We've also got a bit from Bamber Bridge about their start. And loads more from across the pyramid. It's a packed edition as usual.
So a packed weekend. Plenty of fixtures that people can get to. But if you can't make the fixtures, or if you've been to a fixture and want to find out about other games that you weren't able to get to, make sure you get your copy of the non-league paper on Sunday morning. David, thanks for joining us as ever. Have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you soon.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Tim.
And that is it for this week. As I said, slightly shorter this week, but don't worry, next week already is looking like a bumper show, and there's plenty to come throughout the season. We've got a couple of new segments lined up, and a couple of new, slightly different angles as well to try and take a different look at the non-league world and the way we're heading. A big week ahead as injuries begin to kick in, and the depth of squads will begin to play their part for managers up and down the country. Get yourself along to your local non-league club if you can, with a handful of games on Friday and on Sunday, both league and cup-wise. Maybe also give yourself an extra treat as a neutral too. Thank you to all of my guests as ever, and thank you to all of you for listening. Once again, if you do manage to get away and you get to listen to the show in an maybe obscure location, but please do let us know. You know, share your pics on social media or to hello@nonleaguefootballshow.com. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show, and myself there at Tim Fuel, FUELL. As ever, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, but also on Google Podcasts, on Spotify, on Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Public, via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Are there any that aren't good, I ask myself? Stay safe, enjoy your football. Thank you, and goodbye.
Jabba production. JIBBA. JABBA.